بسم الله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنه لا يحب المسرفين فقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر إن الله لا يحب المسرفين فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في مقام آخر إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين وكان الشيطان لربه كفورا وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ بالمد ويغتسل بالساع بالمد ويغتسل بالساع سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Is it working upstairs? I don't know where my phone is, so I don't have connection. Go check. No, don't go check. Does anyone have someone upstairs they can just ask? It's working? Okay. So, alhamdulillah, today we had our special program, Go Green, Go Sunnah, celebration and observation of Earth Day, with the morning nature walk, and then the masjid cleanup in the afternoon, and then the finality of the program is the lecture on the Prophet ﷺ and the earth. So those of you who come or listen regularly, we normally have a seerah program, but today we're going to have a lecture dealing with the seerah, it's sort of a lesson from the seerah, of the Prophet ﷺ and the earth. And then there'll be a demonstration about how to perform an eco-friendly wudu at the end. When I was doing some research for this, I was looking at different articles, and there are a lot of articles there. Zayd Nathman, can you come over here? There's a lot of articles online, and one common problem I found in these articles is that they're trying to force something that didn't exist. See, the reality is that, yeah, you can watch her. The reality is that sometimes we try to make the deen into something it's not. Our teachers, one of my teachers in hadith class, used to quote something that Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say. Mufti Muhammad Shafi, from those people who are from Pakistan, you know who Mufti Taqi Uthmani is, down barakatuh. His father is Mufti Muhammad Shafi. So, Mufti Muhammad Shafi, he wrote Ma'rifat Quran, he used to say that you can derive rulings for the Hanafi madhab from hadith. But you cannot make the hadith Hanafi. Meaning, there's certain rulings that are just obviously not correct according to hadith. So don't try to force the issue when it comes to hadith. When it comes to hadith, don't force the issue. What's in hadith is in hadith. What's in Quran is in Quran. Don't try to create more than what's really there. And when I was looking at the articles online for this particular topic, I felt like a lot of people were trying to push the issue that look at our Prophet and our Deen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that look, it's so eco-friendly. So they began to cite, for example, that one famous hadith, and I believe in Sahih Bukhari, that if you're planting a sapling, if you're planting a seed, and all of a sudden the hour occurs, meaning the Day of Judgment begins, because the sound of the horn. Then what does the hadith say? Continue planting that sapling, that small tree, that seed. The reality is that doesn't talk about how eco-friendly our deen is. That act is a representation of an act that can be continuous in benefits. No matter what you're doing, even at the point of your death, or the time of Day of Judgment, if there's benefit in it, continue. Because with your intention and the potential benefit you could have gained from it, even though the world's coming to an end, you will still, Allah's mercy can still provide you that reward. So some people I saw online are trying to show that, look, our deen, it puts so much emphasis on planting trees. That even if the hour is sound, the day of judgment begins, continue planting trees. Yeah, I guess you can take it that way as a secondary meaning, but that's not initial meaning. That's not an initial meaning. Or some people were mentioning online that if you look at the hadith, we love the earth and honor the earth so much that the Prophet that the earth was made for the Prophet masjida, as a masjid. So the entire earth was made a place to pray. Yes, this honors the earth. But this hadith is actually part of a greater hadith. And that greater hadith says what? That greater hadith states what? That five things were made permissible for the Prophet that were not made permissible for other anbiya. For example, the spoils of war, the ghanaim, no other prophet could have taken them. It would be placed on top of a mountain, a fireball would come if Allah accepted it and consume that ghanima, the spoils of war, and no one could take from it. But here it was permissible. So there are these things that yes, the earth is honored and we do honor the earth, but sometimes people try to really fit a square peg in a circle hole. It doesn't work that way. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not saying this to then say, okay, look at our deen, it's not eco-friendly. So people see if it's not this, then it's that. We're not jumping to extremes over here. But what we say is that, yes, our deen honors the earth. Our deen honors the different elements of the earth. But we take it from an entirely different perspective. Why is it so much in style to be eco-friendly nowadays? Can anyone tell me? Sorry? Global warming. The earth is falling apart. That's why. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the earth wasn't falling apart. So when it wasn't falling apart, you didn't have that attention. Now look, if you look in the hadith and practice how the hadith tell us to live, you will see that we will live a very eco-friendly life. For example, the three R's. Recycle, what is it? Reuse and reduce. Our Prophet ﷺ, our deen says what? Innal mubadhirin kanu min ikhwan ash-shayatin. That verily, Uthman, don't, just let her do what she's doing. Oh, she's gonna make more noise. That verily the people who waste, they're from the friends of shaitan. So we're not wasters. Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates people who become excessive. The badhir and israf, Allah ta'ala hates these things. So there comes reduce for us. Then we see, for example, reuse. Our Prophet ﷺ, we see many examples. He would mend his own sandals. He would not stop wearing a garment until the garment was either a new garment was gifted to him, or the garment was no longer usable. It was a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he would use things till their end. So reduction and reusing were a clear part of the lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ. And there's no concept of recycled then as there is today. But they were obviously were people who did not have all of the resources that we have available at our fingertips. Whatever they can reuse, reduce, etc., they would constantly do. No, just if you don't pay attention, she'll stop making so much noise. Because we're giving attention to her, then she starts making noise. All of these things, then the Prophet ﷺ had in his life. So by following the deen, we naturally be eco-friendly. Now what's the reason for that? The reason for that is not because the world is falling apart. The reason for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything in this earth as an amana. And that's where we stand. We say the animals in our lives, they're an amana. They're a trust upon us. We say the nature around us, that's an amana. The way the sky is, the cleanliness of the sky, the cleanliness of the water, it's an amana. We say how else would we look at it? We say, for example, the children that we have, they are an amana. We say everything in this world is an amana. And what did Allah Ta'ala say to the angels? Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. That verily I put upon this earth a representative, someone who will watch after it on Allah Ta'ala's behalf. In the end, Allah's governing everything. But the tangible representative who's taking care of everything is whom? Humans. It's all of us. So we have then, it's okay, I forgive that answer. What happens is that we now are given that responsibility. That responsibility, we take it very seriously. Then we see how do we apply that responsibility. We look in hadith, we look in Quran, and we see how the Prophet gave us guidance in all these things. So we don't say, look, we had a green prophet. That has many meanings nowadays. We don't say that we had, you know, an eco-friendly prophet, that we had this prophet. We had a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the last messenger. He has been sent for us to be able to live in the most successful way in this life and the hereafter. And that includes taking care of the earth. So, the reason I'm bringing this is because, yes, this is going to be a discussion about the prophet and the way he maintained the earth. And the deen, the way it maintains the earth. And going green, and it means going sunnah. I believe that 100%. But not because we're going to try to put a square peg into a circle hole. That's not the purpose. The purpose is because when we look at it holistically, it's going to be completely obvious. Then that brings up a point to us that we should really consider. If his natural lifestyle was to preserve the earth, are we fulfilling the sunnah? Meaning, are we, if we look at our lifestyles, are we saving the earth? When we take a bath, are we showering, are we bathing? Let's say we shower. Do we turn it on, and then now do we begin to play the whole soundtrack in our mind of, you know, whatever halal knots are out there, or nasheed are out there. You know, is that what we're doing? Or are we doing enough to soap our body, then turning it off? Then shampoo, soap, and turn it back on, rinse it off, and turning it off. Is that what we're doing? If we take a bath, are we filling up the cup and pouring it over ourselves? There's a lot of things that we see the life of the Prophet ﷺ. When we walk outside, do we come to trees and just begin to pluck off leaves, pluck off leaves, pluck off leaves? Or do we leave it? Because it's nature. So we see holistically our Prophet ﷺ taught us how to live a lifestyle where we respect animals, we respect everything, we respect nature, plants, trees, the air, everything is respected from our end. So our agenda is not that we're trying to make our deen seem one way or another for the sake of people or any movements. Our reality is that we recognize our deen is perfect. And today for the teacher's training, those of you who are there, we spoke about a concept that Naqib al-Attas, who's a philosopher and a scholar of education, that he mentioned. That students need to go from realization to actualization. All of us realize, we know what the truth is. But to actualize it, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what's the highest thing? Self-actualization. That's ihsan in Islamic terms. That we take all the things that we know and we reach that level of actualization. And this is where Muslims fall short. The teachings are there. And when it comes time to celebrate it for some political purpose or some secondary agenda, then we speak, oh, we're a very green community. Or then we speak, oh, we're very politically active. Or this and this and this and this and this. If we actually live according to the sunnah in every facet, to the best of our abilities, then we'll see naturally we're fulfilling everything that's asked. Now there's a very interesting hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he mentions, actually let me take a step back. There's a very beautiful verse in Surah Ar-Rum. In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, let me pull the verse up so I don't misquote it. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهْرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that verily corruption has begun to become apparent. It's spread upon the land and in the seas. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, from what people earn or people do with their hands. Now this is a very interesting verse, because this verse mentions the reason why things go wrong in this world. Things go wrong in this world because of the sins that people commit. Umar radiallahu anhu, when there were a series of zalazil that had occurred within Madinah to Munawwara, there were many earthquakes that occurred, what did Umar radiallahu anhu do? He gathered the people and he addressed them and said, oh people, verily these earthquakes are occurring because of your sins. If you do not cease your sinning, I am going to leave the city. There is a clear impact based upon what we do and what happens on the earth. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned that this is why. This refers to, if you look in Ruh al-Ma'ani, in other tafasir, that this mentions that this refers to plagues, this refers to droughts, it refers to natural disasters, it refers to the withholding of rain, it refers to all of these things. All of those things are often predicated on the fact that people have not lived in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and how He desires for us to live. So I need someone just to maintain contact upstairs because that camera is going off a lot during the program. No, not Zay, someone with the phone. You're cool. Because it's going on a lot during the Quran competition, just so it's working properly. So just, if you have someone you can text upstairs, they can just text you, that'd be great. I think I left my phone in the car. So, it's the sins, the acts of people that begin to cause these issues. Now from these issues, we see the inclusion. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned something very interesting. He said, included in this is what? The way the fish populate the waters. Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi mentioned what? The way the water that has whatever sediment that exists enters into the oyster to begin the process by which the pearl is made. So actually the creation begins to get affected by the way we sin. And this is why, according to hadith, when a person begins to set off on a path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith, what does path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? It means clearly gaining knowledge for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we discuss path of Allah ta'ala, there's different references. Sometimes it means jihad. This means what? This means the one who seeks knowledge, clearly in hadith. Then the entire earth begins to make dua until the fish in the ocean make dua. Why does the fish in the ocean, why do they make dua for the people who seek knowledge? Because there is hope that the people who seek knowledge, if they learn what they need to learn and they apply what they need to apply, then they will change the earth for the betterment such that even the birds in the sky begin to gain benefit, the animals that graze upon the earth gain benefit, and even the fish in the waters begin to gain benefit. That's, they have hope in us that perhaps we can do it. Because inni ja'inun fil ardi khalifa, Allah made us stewards. He made us responsible for the earth. Not responsible for human beings on the earth. Not responsible for our children on the earth. Responsible for everything within the earth and that which it contains. Now, when this facade, this corruption becomes apparent, and it's because of us, then we have immediately failed in our responsibility as Khalifa. So the first lesson we learned today is to go green, and to go sunnah means to do what? To be submissive to Allah. If we recycle 100% of everything that we use, it will not benefit the world in the way that we would benefit if we left sin. That is clear within this verse, that's clear in various areas within Quran as well. So the first step that we take is we recognize that my sins, my mistakes, they can be a means by which the benefit in this world is being held back. Then Allah Ta'ala continues that then when these consequences occur, the natural disasters occur, the droughts occur, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, it's so that perhaps they can taste what's going on, that some of them can taste what's going on, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so they can return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who recycle for the sake of recycling will be motivated. But those who do it for the sake of Allah, it'll be a completely different motivation. One who recycles for the sake of recycling can eventually lose hope or not see the benefit because the earth is not constantly changing for the better in our day and age. But the one who does it for Allah recognizes this is pleasing Allah, even if it's only one scrap of paper, that one scrap of paper becomes important to that person. Thus the hadith become clear of those people who benefit the world by serving creation. The example of that young man in one hadith, and another example of that woman who used to be involved in illicit or haram interactions by her work. She was a prostitute. When they fed the dog with a shoe or the khuf, the sandal or the sock, they were granted Jannah and forgiven. Because they did their part of being ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Then we see those people, that one man in hadith who picks up an obstacle and moves it from the road. Yes, he's removing litter, like I saw many articles try to push, he's removing litter. That's not the point. The point is he was serving as the role of khalifa on this earth, and all those who are under him in that amana, he was taking care of them. And yes, there was a tertiary benefit of nature. But when he picked up a branch, that branch wasn't littering. The branch was natural. So we can't, again, put that square piece into that circle hole. It's not going to work that way. Now, in one verse in Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Do not waste. Do not waste wastefully. Do not waste excessively. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That verily the people who are mubadhirin, who waste, they're the brothers of Satan. Now, all of a sudden, turning the shower on and letting it run for hours brings an entirely different problem for us. Put the earth aside for a moment. They become the brothers of shayateen. They become shaitan's assistants in some way. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And shaitan to his Lord was very ungrateful. Now the people who preserve the earth, there's no medal they're going to gain. Maybe in school we get the most recycled reward or something. But the medal that you gain is the pleasure of Allah. Kafura is the opposite. It's the opposite of shukr. This is gratitude. Kafura, he's ungrateful. We recycle, we preserve, we put on those, what are those things called? Those solar panels upon the top of our domes within our mosques, etc. Not merely so we can spend money and save based upon tax cuts. A lot of masajid do this. There's a big tax cut if you do that. It looks good in the articles. This mosque has gone green. No, no. We do it to please Allah. Why? Because shaitan, he's from the mubadhirin. And the mubadhirin are from his brothers because they do as he does. And shaitan was ungrateful to his Lord. لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And by us wasting and not preserving, we also show, oh Allah, we're not grateful to you. And now let me give you that example I was going to mention earlier. In a hadith in Ibn Majah, حدثنا سويد بن سعيد قال حدثني حفص بن ميسرة قال حدثني زيد بن أسلم عن عطاء بن يسار عن عبد الله الصناحي عن رضي الله عنهم عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. An authority of all these individuals, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من توضأ, the one who does what? Does wudu. فمضمض واستنشق فَخَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ فَمِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ. The one who performs the madmada, who rinses his mouth, وَاسْتَنْشَقَ, and rinses his nose, خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ فَمِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ, from the mouth and nose of that person, the sins begin to flow away. فَإِذَا غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ وَجْهِهِ. And when he washes his face, the sins of his face begin to flow away. حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَشْفَارٍ عَيْنَيْهِ. That until even the sins from underneath the lids of his eyes begin to fall out. فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ. And when he washes his hands, خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ. The sins from his hands fall away. فَإِذَا مَسَهَ رَأْسَهُ خَرَجَتْ. And when he wipes his head, خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. The sins of his head wipe away. One of the sins of the head, no one goes and starts headbutting people. It's, you know, the thoughts that come to the mind that we preserve there. Someone once mentioned when we, you know, I don't know what they were, it was in high school. I remember clearly that, you know, we rinse our mouth. We don't hit people with our tongues. I'm like, no, it refers to speech. Sometimes things are obvious, but they're not obvious. So the tongue, no one strikes with the tongue. No one does, you know, those things. No, we speak ill with our tongue. Anfihi, what's the problem with the nose? Sarihan, clearly what is it? When we smell that which is impermissible. So people say, how does that occur? When women walk by, and they're not supposed to wear perfume openly, but if they do, and we try to capture that scent in order to preserve their memory within ourselves, because the senses lock in the thought within our mind. That is one of the sins. But majazan, kinayatan, what does it mean? Metaphorically, it refers to arrogance. Look, even within our caricatures, how do you describe in a cartoon someone who's arrogant? Big nose pointed up, right? Yeah, that's what it is. Anfihi. This is what it refers to. So that is a removal of that sin. So, خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ رَسِهِ حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ أُذُنَيْهِ. Until even the sins of his ears come out from what he listened to. فَإِذَا غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَاهُ مِنْ رِجْلَيْهِ. When he washes his feet, even the sins of his feet fall away. حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَطْفَارِ رِجْلَيْهِ. That until even the sins underneath the toenails begin to come out. وَكَانَتْ صَلَاتُهُ وَمَشْيُهُ إِلَى الْمَشْجِدِ نَافِلًا. Then his walking towards the masjid and his prayer, they become extra reward for him. Now if you look at this hadith, and this is a sahih hadith, if you look at this hadith, it's in Ibn Majah, that this hadith points to the idea that water now purifies us. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. Allah Ta'ala has revealed water from the heaven for the case of purification. Now if we want purification, and we want to be really purified, what do? We should take a gallon of water and begin to pour that gallon down our arm. Because that rush of a gallon and the large amount of water from that gallon takes away gallons of sins. That makes sense. That makes absolute sense. If I want to get the majority of this cleanse from me, I'm going to step in the shower, put it on high, get those booster jets, whatever, going to the full capacity, and now begin to, you know, until I begin to feel like my skin's going numb, I'm going to now rub and get all of it out. That makes sense. Because if the water removes sin, and the sins are taken away by this act, then why not take advantage of it? But then we see in another hadith, I'm quoting the one from Ibn Majah, but it's also in Musnad Ahmad, and it's mentioned according to some ulama da'if in Ibn Majah, but then the chain of Musnad Imam Ahmad is Hassan. So this hadith becomes fine as well. And that's a whole different science. حدثنا محمد بن يحيى قال حدثنا قتيبة قال حدثنا ابن لاهية عن حيي بن عبد الله المعرفي عن أبي عبد الرحمن الحبليه عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر بسعد وهو يتوضا. The Prophet passed by Sa'd radiallahu anhu and he was making wudu. Now one of the important points that we get from this hadith is that we should give our children great names. Then وهو يتوضا and he was making wudu. فقال ما هذا الصرف. The Prophet saw Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he was doing wudu and he said, what is this wasting that you're doing? He passed by Sa'd radiallahu anhu, who's doing wudu. Wudu, miftah al-jannah, as-salah wa miftah al-salah, at-tuhur. That the key to paradise is what? Prayer. And the key to prayer is what? Purification. So of course you want to get the best key possible, the platinum key for paradise. So let's use as much water possible. The Prophet saw, وَهُوَ يَتَوَضَّأُ. He was doing wudu. فَقَالْ مَا هَذَا السَّرَفْ. What is this wastage I see? فَقَالْ سَعَدَ اللَّهُ said, أَفِي الْوُدُوءِ إِسْرَافٌ. In wudu, my preparation to meet my Lord. Not job interview, not school interview, not meeting a potential spouse. My preparation to meet my Lord, there's going to be extravagance and embellishments and overdoing. He said, in wudu even, in the process of getting my sins forgiven, I can still have israf. قال, the Prophet ﷺ said, na'am, yes. وَإِن كُنْتَ عَلَى نَهْرٍ جَارٍ. Even if you are in front of a flowing body of water. Meaning what? That if the body of water is going to have no end, and it's going to continue to flow, it's not the amount of water that's passing, it's what you utilize in that water to perform your wudu. So even then, be careful. Now this hadith and the previous hadith seem to contradict. That one, sins are forgiven, this one, use little water. But the sins are not forgiven by water. The process is where, I'll give an example. Who's gone for hajj before? Who has Allah Ta'ala blessed to go for hajj? Okay, alhamdulillah. When you go for hajj and you see the jamarat, are people throwing stones at it? Yes. What else are they throwing at it? Anything they could find. Sandals, what else did you say? Slippers, umbrellas. I swear to you, I saw a diaper against one. I promise. I'm in the masjid. There's a diaper on one. Because I guess they got really upset and they were happy the child was handling, and they gave it to shaitan. Now, shaitan on that day is being pelted by those stones. The diaper, as dirty as it may be, I don't care if you fed the child food or, you know, whatever, dal, it's not going to affect shaitan. It's not going to affect shaitan. The umbrella, no matter how sharp the tip is, and you threw it like a lance, it's not going to affect shaitan. The slippers could be bata, it doesn't matter, it's not going to affect shaitan. My brother said he saw a person charging with his fist at it. It's not going to affect shaitan. You take large stones and throw it, that doesn't affect shaitan. What affects shaitan? Taking the small chickpea-sized stones or less, and according to one narration, doing like this, or like this. That affects shaitan. Now you're thinking, if I'm going to pelt him, I'm going to spend some, you know, weeks with the minor leagues and try to figure out how to get that fastball right down the middle. No, that doesn't affect him. Because it's not the stone that affects shaitan. It's the sunnah that affects shaitan. Because what is sunnah? The greatest way to be in obedience to Allah. And what does shaitan do to earn his position? Was in disobedience of Allah. And that's why he hates the sunnah. So for us, it's not the water. It's the usage of water for the sunnah. That causes the sins to be removed. For us, it's not preserving the earth for the sake of eco-friendliness. It's to save the earth because this is an amana from Allah Ta'ala, and He's going to hold us accountable for on the Day of Judgment. For us, it's not overburdening animals because of the fact that, oh, they're cute and fluffy. That's not the, you know, it makes no difference to Allah. All of His creation are beautiful. But it's not overfishing the seas or deforesting the lands, because these are amanats. They're trust from Allah Ta'ala. And He said, "Inni ja'inun fil ardi khalifa." I'm going to put on this earth a representative, a caretaker, a steward. And who is that? That is the human being. That is the human being. And this is why all of this discussion is so important. This is why it's absolutely vital. Now, there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kan Nabi," this is Sahih Bukhari, "Kan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatawadda'u bil muddi," or maddi. That the Prophet ﷺ used to do wudu in a mud or a mud. I've seen both, the dabt on it is both ways. So what is that? What is that? That is about 3/4 of 1 liter. Does anyone have a water bottle with them? Just how a water bottle looks. Is that door open? It should be open. Okay, bring the water bottle, that's fine. So, this is 237 milliliters, it's about 3 of these. Can you grab that? Sishan, can you grab that? Allahu Akbar. That's fi'l amr, that's a command. This is 500 milliliters. This is about 2/3 of the amount he used for wudu. Some of my teachers said this was the amount he used for wudu. This is the amount he used for wudu. You can take it back now. So today, and then he used to use a sa'a. A sa'a is going to be what? It's going to be 5 of those, or 7 or 8 of those. Basically 3 liters of water. Take a 2 liter beverages bottles and put a little more. That and that combined. That's what he took a bath in. Now, when I used to be in Africa, that's how much I used to take baths in. Why? Because our water wasn't hot. We didn't have functioning hot water. So I don't want to put all that water on myself. But now you come to America and then, you know, the hot water's running and it's a whole different story, unfortunately. So today we should do what? We should do the following. We should decide to ourselves, what is the one thing I'm going to do? that's going to help preserve the earth. Not because we get some badge, not because we get honored by the mayor or the governor. It's because we now are going to choose to be true khulafa on this earth. Properly take responsibility to watch over the earth, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, has demanded us to do. So at this point I'm going to stop. We're going to do the demonstration of eco-friendly wudu. I don't know, so I need someone to get the small tarp from here, and I need someone to get a bottle of water from in there. So the bottle of water, I don't have my keys are upstairs. Does anyone have keys here? Gee, okay. So just get the bottle of water from there. We're going to do eco-friend. So the people, they should be able to see, are they able to see clearly through the camera? They should be able to see clearly through the camera. Is there a mixer option by which, you can actually see what I'm doing? Can I turn the camera on Mixler? I don't know how that works. It's only audio? Ustream is the video, right?
Yeah.
Oh well. This is why you should come here, Atif. Okay, Zakmah. Yeah, I don't know whose this was.
We've got two more people.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do with one. Yeah, but bring those here. Okay, cool. So just give me a moment while we set up over here. So we're going to do a bit of a demonstration how to do the book. Oh, man. HIF students, Amir, where you at, bro? Amir, look at that. Ismail, Ibrahim, look at this. This is how you clean up afterwards? Messed up, man. Messed up. Sorry? That's fine, too. Whatever. Don't blame Talon, Hamza. Yeah, Anas, what is this? Okay. So... And then after this we eat. So alhamdulillah. So no problem. So those of you listening online and have no idea what's going on, I'm going to try to perform wudu with 237 milliliters of water. Not the fard wudu, faqsidu wujuhakum, wash your face once, wa aydikum ilal marafiq, wash your hands to your elbows once, wamsahu bi ru'usikum, wipe 1/4 of your head, and wa arjulakum ilal ka'bain, wash your feet once. That's not what I'm doing. I'm going to do the sunnah wudu through this. So I need the people who are right in front. No one should be right in front of me. You guys can get to the sides, but no one should be right in front of me. Okay. So sorry. So the first thing you do when you do a proper sunnah wudu is you face the qibla. What we have in our wudu areas, we don't have the qibla, the wudu area facing the qibla, but if you go towards the north direction, those faucets, you can just turn your body a little and face the qibla. The sister's area, I don't know how, which direction the sink faces, but try to just adjust the body. If you can't, just make the intention that Allah came as close as possible, I couldn't do beyond this, etc. Okay. So Anas, can I have you control this call? Everyone just call you, please. Anas is not here today. Anas, yeah, can you call me? Can you just set up the call? Everyone just, you share your contact details and everyone will just call you, okay? So now the first thing is I'm going to make intention for wudu broad. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His pleasure, for anything that can be inclusive through that wudu. I'm going to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and I'm going to begin by washing my hands. I don't know if I can do it this small, but we'll see. Now, washing your hands means what? When you wash with water, that the water, at least 3 drops fall from that part. If not, it's considered wiping. Okay. So, you can handle it however you want. I'm going to put it on mute so you can see me on the heat mic. Hang on, over here. Okay. So, now I take my water, and I'm going to pour it into the hand. If you don't have a vessel, use a vessel. If you can't use a vessel, turn the water on, pour it into your hand, and with the other hand, turn it off. Don't turn off the same hand, the water is just supposed to be. Oh. Turn it off with the other hand, and let the water gather in your hand. So 3 times right hand, 3 times left hand. Yes, please. Amir, can you hold it? Not because no one else can hold it, but we just strategically place it the best way. Okay. So I put water in my hand,
I'm going to let it flow over my hand. Look at the amount of drops that are coming. It's definitely a wash. Now, bring it closer. Now, basically, this is called a dalak. When I'm rubbing, I'm doing the takhlil between the fingers. One, two, the dalak is taking place. And this is tricky. Okay, two, everything needs a little. Okay, and then three. So I've washed the right hand completely. This hand has been washed. Okay. Hey, fired, bro. You better be a good hafiz because, you know, you have no future holding a microphone for someone. I should have just had you do it. Okay, then I do the left hand. Now, look at the amount of water that's falling. One, those of you nearby, you see how wet I'm getting, and the amount of water that's falling on the tarp. Two, this is a little less. There's still one, two, three drops. Two, three, four, five. I've at least washed it according to Sharia. You see all that water falling? I've gone to the wrist. Okay? That's that. The next thing I'm going to rinse my mouth. I'm going to do it on here, so no one come try to gather the barakah. There's really nothing here. Okay. If I have a miswak. Is that a miswak? What's in my... Where's my... If I have a miswak, I'm going to miswak my teeth at this moment. Right to left, up to down, get the tongue. If you're not done, I do that, that's actually within hadith. Do this walk, if not, I'll use my finger. Pour water in my right hand, then I... Don't go this far. I do this in shop. That's cool. I'm gonna let it gather here for a reason. I do this in shop. I spit it out. Gargling is not necessary. In ghusl, we gargle, not in wudu. It's not necessary within wudu. It's like you're fasting, don't gargle. One. Two. So you see I'm not faking water in this. Actually, real water is going in. Three. So now I did water. I did hands and mouth. So I have water left. Many people at this point would have gone through this bottle of water with ease. Next comes the nose. I need some privacy in this. So in this, I'm going to pour water. Now there's two opinions on this. Clear from hadith. You put water in your mouth and then in your nose with the same movement. So, blow. 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 And the other one is you put in your, you do three times your mouth and with your head, right hand, suck it into your nose, not too high, then it goes to your brain and gets, you know, and then bleeds and there's this problem there. You, enough to reach the bridge of your nose and you blow up your left hand. If you need to clean, don't use your gum, you'll get stuck. Use your left hand, small finger, if you need to clean your nose out. Don't do it publicly, I'm not gonna do it here, for the sake of just basic propriety. Okay, so, I put in my right hand. I sucked in. Okay. Go ahead and come by right now. One. Okay, two. It's a problem. Everyone watching. Okay. Three. If I need, I'm not gonna do it. My left finger, I clean it up with the left small finger. Now I've done the mubadiyat. Now why are these mubadiyat? Three things in wudu have to be, in water has to be clear, ready to be used properly. Three parts of water. The color, the taste, the smell. If two of the three are legitimate, you can do wudu with that water. When I first put water in my hand to wash it, what can I do to that water? I see the color. When I rinse my mouth with it, what do? I taste it. The third thing I bring to my nose, I sniff it, I smell it. If I see two of those three are not correct, the water is yellow, it smells like lemon lime Gatorade, I know it's not water, immediately I'm not going to use it anymore. Okay, so those three things, the being able to have a lot of wisdom. Next, I wash my face. Faces from your hairline. Not my current hairline, my initial hairline. My initial hairline began here, then I got married and, okay, so, the initial hairline began here, from here to your chin. So if I do this, I actually have a chin underneath over here. This is my chin, this is my initial hairline. From ear to ear, not from jaw to jaw, ear to ear. So this part here, that you see that's between my sideburns, so sisters, you don't have beards, you probably have sideburns, between the sideburns and your ears, that part also has to be washed. And everything in between. So I take water. And you can hear, now if you have a thick beard, what's a thick beard? Not long. If it's so thick you can't see the skin underneath, you can go over it. If you have a thin beard, doesn't matter how long it is, like you can see the skin underneath, then you have to actually rub underneath. I have a thick beard, I can go over it. One. Now you see all these drops that are coming. Two. I should do double and make sure I get everything underneath. And then? Three. Now, if I have, just like I did the glue with my fingers like this, remember that, I will also put a little water in my hand, and I will, there's two opinions in the hadith. One, I go under like this, or I go like this. So I can go underneath the beard and take out anything that might not be good to be there. Now I've done up to my face. Next comes my arms. I pour water on my arm, on my hand, and I let it run down. You see the drops? And then I use my left hand to do the leak. One. So you can see the amount of drops that are coming. Those of you in your body, you see more than three are coming, right? Two. I did a little too much there, but three. I've gone to my elbow, and I've gone, did the tahleel between the fingers. Next arm.
Is it required to do three times?
No. It's required to only do it once. The sunnah is three. Why do we do three? To make sure that every part has been reached. One, and two, because the Prophet did it. Tahleel, the sunnah. One, rub it.
We have to do it like that.
Okay, there is no exact specific way. That when you do the, like, we don't know if the person actually went here first and here there. I just do it based on my scissors. And then? Okay, that's a good question. See the drops are coming down? When people make that mistake, I mean, this is the sink. One, does the faucet run, wasting water. And they do this. This has not been covered. This whole area is dry. You need to rub over. Just doing this doesn't do anything. Serious. So you have to be careful about this. Now, so far I've done the arms as well. Now comes the head. The head is debate, but I'm going to put, the head's done one time. Only one hadith of Thumana Dilan mentions doing it three times. We do it one time. That's the clear sunnah from all of the khulafa, even a narration of Thumana Dilan. I put my, put water in my hand. Now this is what? This is must. I'm wiping. So I rub and I shake the water off. I see people, they start doing it three times, they're pouring water over their hair, and then, you know, that's how it happens. Then the hadith mentions, you go forward to backwards, then backwards to forwards in the side of your head. Take your index finger in your ears, thumb behind the ears. Now there's a debate, do you do the neck or not? There's clear debate amongst the fuqaha. If you do it fine, use the back of your hands or the back of your neck. But everyone agrees not to touch the throat, so don't come all the way to the front. Now we have two limbs left. We have a little more than half of this bottle left, and I have to do the 2 feet. The feet are always the hardest though.
So, can you guys see clearly online? Okay.
Now comes the feet. So people online, the feet's next. Okay. So, I always recommend bringing the pant higher so you can get full access to the foot, toe to the ankle. Now, are there any specific sunnah du'as in the beginning I should have read? Allahumma khfirli dhambi wa sa'li fi dali barakli fi rizqi. That I should have read, or at least bismillah. I said bismillah. During the wudu, there's no set masnoon du'as, but the ulama recommend interact with that wudu. Oh Allah, just as you're cleaning the dirt off my face, clean the sins from my face and my eyes. Oh Allah, just as you are clean the dirt from my hands, whatever wrong my hands have done, remove the sins from it. Have an interactive wudu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes my feet. Is it so clear? Is it just a little bit? So, I pour over. Now there is a debate. Do we begin from the ankle to the toes, or toes to ankle? There's debate. You take your small finger, you go between the toes. You go between, can you see? Okay. Go between the toes from right to left. One. So for those from the other finger, I'll go from ankle to, and then you see the drops. They're dropping down quite a bit. And I have really dry skin, so you can tell when it's not washed properly. The Prophet said, وَيْلُلِّ الْأَعْقَابْ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoa. You know, it's a warning, because people, the aqab, they just put their foot like this and wash in the sink. This part touching the sink, it's not getting wet. Lift it up, rub it. And you guys can see, it's clear. It's been clean.
Do they have to do a specific order?
Okay, according to ulama, the order is debated, meaning that if it's wajib or not. You should do that order, but the person didn't that order. And that's the simplest way we should look at life in general. Fine, what's the ruling? Who cares? The Prophet did that one. Okay. I will do it. That way you cover that part. Okay, then we begin again. The left foot. Now, I'm not going to wash it completely. You see the dryness? So now you know what happens if I don't clean it properly. Look how dry it is. So you can see that, now I don't want someone to go by me like, that's me, my lotion. I'm not saying it because I need that. I'm just saying that we can tell. Then we go from the right part to the left between your toes. A third time. Now Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he used to go all the way up to his calves when he did it. And up to his shoulders. Because that part's covered with nur and gold, my dear judges. Now in clear hadith, it comes that the remaining water of wudu, there's two instances in hadith and water is drunk, three instances, but one is just because the water stain. But two other incidents when the Prophet drank the water standing. Zamzam, the debate about that. And then when you finish the wudu, the water that remains, not, don't scoop the water from the remaining water from the vessel, you drink it standing face to Qibla, clear in hadith. If anyone wants hadith, they can contact me on email. And then so you stand up, you face the Qibla. There, yeah. So if I were to take off the wrapper, so here's how much water is left. We've just reached halfway. It's a complete wudu. You can come check out my limbs and my muscles if you want. No problem. We've only reached halfway. We've only reached halfway. Now the remaining water you drink is standing. One gulp within hadith that it can be done for this particular thing. And you read, now if it's a lot, then do one gulp. Do the three. Then you read what? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Now the wudu was done eco-friendly. So next time it's a water shortage, they hit a water mine. A water mine. And we have just a bunch of these. Two people can do wudu from this. We're not gonna push that. But we should be able to do wudu with a restricted amount of water. So I'll stop. If you have any questions, I'll field them later because who's
9:19?
Are we gonna pray and then we're gonna eat?
I don't think we have enough time to eat before.
Yeah, so I apologize for the extra demonstration today. Inshallah, Allah reward you, but we're going to pray, then we're going to eat. The people online, you can pretend like you're waiting in hunger as well, and then you can eat at home, whatever you have there. So if you have questions, I'll field them now. Yes. Okay. It's makruh to spend so much time that the water can sit down. It's makruh to spend so much time. Zakhmukhan Amir, great job holding the microphone. Your parents will be very, very proud of you. It's makruh to wait so long between limbs that the limbs naturally dry. That's makruh. Because now you're causing unnecessary time between the limbs. It's going to roll up to the water, it's going to come up.
No, you're just speaking that barakah. I can't help that.
Okay, question.
You mentioned that Prabhupada used to do in about half meter, right? So you should not do as little as possible water or do in half meter?
So that half liter included him standing and drinking, because that was the size of the mug. But he did drink from it. So we know the wudu was done with less than that amount of water.
So if you did 100 milliliter, right? So
What I would do for now is aim for the 3/4 liter and try to do it in that, and have at least a few drops to drink for the sake of the sunnah. I would just do that. If you can do more than more, to be stingy in water in wudu is makruh among ulama. Because one is to waste Allah's resources, the other is to not think of Allah's resources to be sufficient. If there's not enough water, Allah doesn't make us do this. He just has to do tayammum. So we have the alternative there. Yes?
Is there a specified container to do with water?
There is no specific specified container, but some of the ulama have created something called the sunnah mud. I left mine in Zambia, unfortunately. It looks how the container of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. You remember that? And you can order some of those online if you want. I'm trying to order some for the masjid, but I need to get contact from that person. So once again, I want to just put one on top of every faucet so those who want to do this can do this with ease. Yes. If you wash your hands randomly just before you eat, does the sins are removed? The sins being removed in hadith is specifically for wudu. I haven't seen anything in particular for just washing your hands. But if you do it to eat, you get the reward of the sunnah. That reward is still there. Yes. So you don't re-wet the hands for the ears. So for example, if I got my hands wet, then I wipe my head front to back, back to front, and then I use that water that's left to go through my ears. My teacher said in order, because must, the moment you use a part, you can't reuse it. So they would say, now we don't say it's sunnah, but we say that this is a way to utilize it most effectively. You shake your hands, and you hold your hands like this, not Star Trek, like this. You do this. These three fingers from front to back, now that water's been used, front to back. The palms, back to front. So now use this. This is still unused. In the ears, behind the ears. In the ears, this fingers, behind the ears, the thumbs. Now use this and all of this. If you do back in the neck, if that's within the understanding of hadith and fiqh that you take, then the back of the hands are still wet, you can do that, you're done. Yeah.
What about when you take shower and you do this?
Okay. When you take a shower, actually you don't have to, according to various hadith, you don't have to even do the motions. Just make the intention that your ghusl counts in wudu. And if you look at the sunnah way of doing ghusl, you actually do wudu first. You do wudu first, then you pour water over the right side, left side head. Sorry. You do wudu first, you don't do the feet, then pour the water over the right side, left side head, then you wash the feet at the end, and then you leave. So you did a wudu there anyway. Yeah, if you do the exact sunnah way, yes. There's no limit of drops in water. The reason the ulama say three is because they say that we have to distinguish between between wiping and washing. Wiping, there's no water falls out. The reason why they say washing has three is because jama'ah in Arabic, a gathering in Arabic is minimized by what? Three. Mufrad, one. Muthanna, two. Jama'ah, three or more. So at least three drops, that equals a washing because much water is being used. Yes.
Okay, so if you were making wudu and at the end you notice that you didn't wash your hands properly, can you do it again?
Okay, so if this happens a lot, especially for me when I go to ruku, I see that little spot, not when I'm leading, don't worry about it. A spot on the foot, I'm like, oh, I missed it. If you did wudu and you realize there's a little coin spot over here, you just go get water and just wash over that spot. You see a little spot over here has been washed on your arm, and you're putting your sleeves down, you're like, oh my god, that's dry. What happens on the feet, then you just go, take some water, wash over that part once, your wudu is complete. Yes?
What are the sins of your feet?
The sins of the feet are where you walk towards the intention of doing evil. Or if you kick your brother and sister. I mean, yes?
Yeah.
For ghusl, the entire body has to become what? In wudu, you have to go, so I'm a bad example, but like, oh, my beard, for example, I just went over it, but in ghusl, I have to come under it, because the skin has to get wet, and the hair. Women, there's some leniencies with if they, braid it. Yes?
Suppose you have a small banded hand and you're breaking wudu, do I need to remove the banded or is it okay?
Good question. If the wound is healed, and it's not going to be harmed by the water, then the bandage should be removed. If the wound is fresh, or will continue flowing because of it, then the bandage should remain on, and you should just pass, your hand over it. Don't even make that place wet because the bandage will fall out. You wash everywhere, just pass water over that area. If it's a cast and you can't even get it that much wet, then don't even pass over it. But if you can just pass, shake the hand off, very little water, just symbolically go over it. This is what Ulama say about for an injured area. But the mistake we often make is I get a scratch, I cover the band-aid, 3 days pass, I'm just too scared to pull it off because the hair's gonna come off. Now I'm doing wudu, I'll just, then that band-aid's not valid anymore. Yes.
What if there's an injury which doesn't allow you, let's say you're doing it from the tap, what if there's an injury which does not allow you to lift your legs?
If you cannot lift your legs, but you can still wash your legs, you should sit, get a bowl, and use your hands to wash over your feet. If you wash your feet first at work when doing wudu, yeah, you can technically go out of order. It's okay. I know at work sometimes you're looking and seeing, oh, you know what, let me just the feet. Technically, it's okay. It breaks tartib, and according to some of the ulama, that's very problematic. I recommend buying those wudu socks. What's the website for wudu socks? www.wudugear.com. Buy a pair. Mention my name for a discount. There's no real discount. Sorry. Oh yeah, if you're here, you go to Khalid Bai. I'm talking about these people. They're not, you know, they're not Milwaukeeans. But yeah, technically you can wash your feet, but I wouldn't do that because there's a debate amongst the ulama about how it ruins the wudu, and you want to be within that debate. When washing the feet, should the feet be completely wet at each of the three wipes, or is it a course of, yeah, the culmination, the entire foot should get wet. Any limb, the culmination, at the end, it should all be wet. Yes, go ahead.
Is normal bathing count as
ghusl? So the ulama say if you can, so long, okay, there's a debate. Some of the ulama say you should gargle to your throat and rinse the bridge of your nose for ghusl. Why? Because in the verse of ghusl, Allah Ta'ala says, فَطَّهَرُ. That shadda means intensify your wudu. You rinse your mouth normally, now you intensify by going to your throat. You rinse your nose normally, now you intensify by going by here. They interpret that verse that way. Other ulama say you don't have to get that. See what your parents follow and follow that in accordance. Yes.
Or is it part of it?
For ghusl?
Yeah.
For ghusl? Wudu, no. Wudu, you're okay.
Some people do.
Yeah, you don't have to. You're okay. Yes.
If accidentally you miss you just go back
and do that one part and keep going on. You don't have to start all over. Personally, I start all over just because when you're the imam, you want to make sure that no one has a makruh prayer. So some of the fuqaha say it's problematic. I don't remember within the Maliki fiqh what the ruling is. So because I don't want to make anyone's prayer makruh, I start over. Yeah.
If you're suddenly praying, you notice in ruku,
for example, there's a spot of water on your foot, a spot that's missing on your foot that hasn't been covered, your wudu is invalid, I understand. Right? Your wudu is invalid, you have to go to finish your wudu. That prayer never counted.
If you're leading,
then everyone behind you has to just wait for you. That's why you have to be very careful when leading. I think we have to cut it right now. Yeah. I'm going to kill you soon or do zabiha of you. So I prefer my neck being where it is. Okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.